Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. I appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you'll take your Bible and follow along in the Bible study tonight as we go through the Scriptures once again and talk about some principles of understanding your Bible. This broadcast is brought to you by Grace Bible Church, where I'm the pastor, and I want to extend to you an invitation to come and be with us in our services at Grace Bible Church. At the end of the broadcast, you'll be given information about how you can contact us, and we would love to hear from you. We would invite you to visit our website, as well as come and be with us in our services. We have classes for all ages during our Sunday school hour. And again, that information will be given to you at the end of the message tonight. So if you would, get you a pencil and paper and jot down the Scriptures as we go through and look at the Scriptures in the study. And also write down the telephone number that will be given to you, as well as the address of the church. We would love to hear from you, whether by letter, by telephone call, or by a personal visit to our church. We would love to have you. We encourage visitors to come, and I think you'll find the services at Grace Bible Church to be unique and different. Our emphasis there is it is on the broadcast of teaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel of the grace of God, so that people will be established in the truth for this present age. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the teachings of Jesus Christ in relation to the church, the body of Christ. And when I say that, I want you to understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of the scriptures of the New Testament are the teachings of Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But there are certain portions of the scriptures that are directly to and for the church, the body of Christ. We have a chart here that represents that. And on this chart, we've listed the books of the New Testament as they are lined up in the New Testament. That is, it starts with Matthew and goes all the way through the book of Revelation. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has to do with the first coming of Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry. That ministry is carried out by the 12 in Acts 1 through 8. And then in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved and given the dispensation of the grace of God. And the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. Then the books of Hebrews through Revelation. The doctrine of these books will match that of the kingdom gospel in Matthew through John. And the primary emphasis over there is on the tribulation and the millennial reign. And of course, in Revelation 21, the new heaven and the new earth. But what we've been looking at is that the teachings of the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon are the teachings of Jesus Christ for this present age, for the dispensation of the grace of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul, in talking about certain things that he had written there, said, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing." So the words of Paul, given by the Spirit of God, are the words of Jesus Christ. And the teachings of Jesus Christ are different through the Apostle Paul than they were during the kingdom doctrine taught to the 12. We've seen that there was a new apostle, the Apostle Paul. With the Apostle Paul, there was a new commission. There was a new gospel. Last week, we looked at the fact that there was a new body of truth. It's called the revelation of the mystery. You can read that about that in Romans chapter 16, Ephesians chapter 3, and many other places, Colossians 1, many places in Paul's epistles, he makes reference to the revelation mystery. And this revelation had to do with the fact that the door of salvation had been opened to all men on the basis of faith by the work of Christ on Calvary. We saw in Matthew 25 that the Gentile nations there were blessed as a result of blessing Israel. Well, today, there is no benefit in blessing Israel as a nation. The best way you could bless the nation Israel would be to bless the Israelites by preaching unto them the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 that his brethren were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they were going about to establish their own righteousness. And that is true of all men today. And so what we're to do today in this dispensation is to preach the word, preach the gospel of the grace of God, and anybody can be saved by believing that gospel. Anybody that has not believed that gospel and trusted Christ as their Savior are not saved. And the issue is not what denomination they're a part of or what church they're a part of. It's what they believe. Now, in addition to all the other things that we have seen that are new through the teachings of Paul, Today, I want to talk to you about one that is somewhat controversial. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, the next verses deal with seven things that Paul says there's only one of. He said there is one body. That body is the body of Christ. We talked about that in a previous study. It's not the bride of Christ. The bride and the body are not the same. The body of Christ and the bride of Christ will be united, according to Revelation chapter 21 and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. But Paul says here there is just one body, one Spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, all of these things are specific to the body of Christ. Today, there is only one body. There are three churches in the Bible. We studied that in one of the previous studies. The church in the wilderness, the church that started there in Acts chapter 2. The one mentioned in Matthew 16 is the one of Acts 2. And then there's the church which is His body that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Ephesians 5. Throughout his epistles, he talks about that one body. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that one body. So there's a lot of passages that talk about the one body. But what I want to talk to you about today is the one baptism. Because there is much confusion today about baptism in the Bible. People debate whether, when they read the word baptism, whether it's spirit baptism or water baptism. Well, I want you to pay particular attention to the fact that the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, who was given the dispensation of the grace of God, who was given the revelation of the mystery, says that for the church, the body of Christ, there's just one baptism. Now, that is not what Jesus taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ taught Himself and taught through the apostles that there were three baptisms. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 7, John is the preacher there. And the Bible says, "When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire." Now, notice the three baptisms. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." That is the baptism that Jesus Christ was baptized with, water baptism. That's the baptism that Peter baptized with, Acts 2:38. It is water baptism. He said, "I baptize you with water." And for them, it was water unto repentance. When it was Jesus Christ, it was that He might be manifest to Israel, John chapter 1. But He says here, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And you know, a lot of times people take that fire baptism and they completely misrepresent it. People today that you see sometimes in these services where people are slain in the Spirit and that kind of thing, they call that fire-baptized believers. Well, the fire baptism is something that nobody has experienced yet. If they had, they wouldn't be around to tell about it. Why is that? Because in the next verse, he tells us about that fire baptism. He says, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." That has to do with judgment. But I want you to notice that I want us to look at the three baptisms here and then the one baptism that Paul mentioned. And we'll have to move quickly to do this. In Mark chapter 1, again, there's a reference there to the baptism. And it says in Mark 1:4, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Remember, he said there that this baptism, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. In Mark chapter 16, in what is so called the Great Commission, as the Lord Jesus Christ sends out the 11, later the 12, He said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's water baptism. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's water baptism. Now you see, many times people that do not believe in baptismal regeneration, and I do not believe in baptismal regeneration either, but many times people that do not believe in that, they will have to take these verses, and because it's very specific that water baptism was the means there, they will have to change these verses and make them spirit baptism. But if you rightly divide the word of truth, you do not have to do that. Because water baptism was associated with the nation Israel. Water baptism was practiced in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, baptism is referred to as divers washings. You can read about that in the book of Isaiah. You can read about it in the book of Ezekiel. The priesthood was to be washed. There was a continual washing. And these were the baptisms. And the reason that the nation Israel was baptized in water is because they were to become a kingdom of priests. And so the baptism for remission of sins was water baptism. Then he mentions the baptism of fire. Well, that baptism of fire is judgment. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 49, Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you no, but rather divisions. Now again, this baptism was not something that was foreign to the nation Israel. Back in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So when John came forth preaching there in Matthew chapter 3, Israel was already familiar with these baptisms. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, that is Jesus Christ, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So the first baptism was a baptism of repentance with water. And it was a preparation for Israel to be that royal priesthood. Jesus Christ told the disciples, If I go away, I'll send a comforter to you. And so we find that there is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4. Jesus Christ, they're assembled together. It says there in Acts 1, 4, And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not part from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now again, as there is with water baptism, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Ghost baptism. Again, this baptism is associated with the nation Israel. Over in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there is the baptism for remission of sins, which is water baptism. There is the Holy Spirit baptism, and they are baptized with the Spirit. Now, the words are very important. Your Bible is a perfect, preserved book. And the words written down are words that we can believe that they mean exactly what they say, where they say it, to whom they say it. To be baptized with the Spirit is not the same as to be baptized by the Spirit. And I'll show you the significance of those differences in a few moments. But what I want you to understand is that there were three baptisms that were associated with Israel, and they occurred in order. The first was the baptism with water unto repentance. John the Baptist preached that, taught that, practiced that. Jesus told them to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those that are baptized and shall, those believe and are baptized shall be saved. Matthew 28, water baptism, involved in the Great Commission. And Luke 24, Jesus Christ says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among the Jews. And that's exactly what happened. And Acts 2:38 is the fulfillment of all that. Peter is following the directions explicitly. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, there was an empowerment that came upon those disciples promised in Acts chapter 1 and took place in Acts chapter 2. That baptism with the Spirit was to prepare them to carry out the work of God, the work of the ministry that Jesus Christ gave them of preaching this gospel of the kingdom. And so when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, it was fulfilled what Jesus Christ had told them. He said, take no thought for your life. He said, when you appear before the magistrate, don't take no thought what you're going to say, because it will be given you at that time what to say. That was a supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And it was for those disciples to carry out their ministry during the early part of Acts of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The next event on God's prophetic calendar would have been judgment. That judgment is spoken of as the day of Jacob's trouble. That judgment is spoken of as the 70th week of Daniel. It's called the tribulation. There will be 7 years of tribulation. The last 3.5 years would be great tribulation, and it would commence with a baptism of fire, which is a judgment. And when that baptism of fire came about, it would burn up those who were against God Almighty, and the earth would be filled with His righteousness and so forth. So there was the baptism of water, there was the baptism with the Spirit, and there was a baptism with fire. Three baptisms. But when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now that's different. Obviously one is different from three. And so the question is, what is this one baptism? And if there's only one baptism today, why is it that most of religion today still practices at least two? I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about the body of Christ. As I mentioned a moment ago, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now notice that the reference there is to the body of Christ. Now notice in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Now you see, the reason that we have to rightly divide the word of truth, folks, is because it's the only way that you can reconcile the differences between the kingdom doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Hebrews through Revelation, and the church doctrine given to and through the Apostle Paul. The teachings of Christ concerning baptism today are found in Paul's teachings. And he says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's just one baptism. Now, some people say, well, there's just one baptism that counts. No, there's just one baptism for the church, the body of Christ. And the practice of water baptism is a practice that was carried over from the nation Israel, and it is a people that practice water baptism today do that as a result of a failure to rightly divide the word of truth and to understand that church doctrine does not include water baptism. It includes only Spirit baptism. People ask us sometimes, your church doesn't believe in baptism, do they? Oh, yes, we do. We believe in Spirit baptism. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Not with the... You see, the Spirit is actually the one doing the baptism. He said, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Well, what is that baptism? It's when the Spirit of God places us into the body of Christ when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are baptized. That is, we are identified with Christ in Spirit baptism. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And you know, this is a wonderful baptism because it places us in Christ. As a matter of fact, I want to mention to you, I just want to go down the list here and give you about seven things that are accomplished by this one baptism that water baptism would never accomplish. Again, water baptism, read it in the Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Somebody says, well, but Paul did baptize. Yes, Paul baptized in the early part of his ministry, but he also did many other things in the early part of his ministry that he no longer did in the later part of his ministry. While Paul continued to keep the feast days, he said, I became all things to all men. Because water baptism was associated with Israel and was a part of their practices, he practiced water baptism for a short period of time, but he said Christ sent him not to baptize. And he tells us later on in Colossians chapter 2 that we're complete in Christ without physical circumcision, without physical baptism. All we need is the Spirit baptism, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You see, water baptism is a physical rite that was associated with Israel. Spirit baptism, this baptism by the Spirit, is a baptism that is performed by the Spirit and not by human hands. The Spirit baptism is a baptism that takes place the moment a person is saved. It's not something that you have to prepare for down the road a week or two later and bring your clothes and change into and go into a pool and so forth. The baptism by the Spirit is a baptism that is performed instantaneously. The moment a person is saved, that person is placed into the body of Christ by the Spirit. This baptism places a man into Christ. In Romans chapter 6, and there has been much damage done to the truth of Romans chapter 6 by those that preach Romans chapter 6 as though it were water baptism. I want you to see that it is Spirit baptism. It cannot be water. Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now the key there is that we were planted together. You see, the baptism by the Spirit identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Listen, folks, spiritually speaking, we were identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection by a spiritual baptism. Romans 6 is spiritual baptism. This baptism, it's performed by the Spirit. It takes place a moment a person is saved. It places a person into Christ. It abolishes all natural, social, and sexual distinction. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, in this body. It makes man a partaker of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, as we read there in Romans chapter 6. It also makes a person complete in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 10, Paul says, you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, there is a spiritual circumcision and there is a spiritual baptism, and that's what's referred to there in Colossians chapter 2. And we, as a result of this one baptism, are complete in Christ. It is the only baptism, it is the one and only baptism that's needed for the church, the body of Christ. Now let me ask you something. What is it you're trusting in? Is it the fact that you were baptized in water, that you joined the church, that you walked the aisle? Or have you experienced the one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, being baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God as a result of believing the gospel? If you believe the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, even if you didn't know about it, the Spirit of God placed you into the body of Christ, and there is nothing else in your flesh that you need to do to be complete in Christ. Now, there's things you need to do to be accepted as far as your works are concerned, but as far as your acceptance, the Bible said, we've been accepted in the Beloved, and that acceptance is not on the basis of water baptism. It's on the basis of believing the gospel of the grace of God, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would invite you to do that right now if you never have. Jesus died for your sins. Trust Him, accept Him as your Savior, and by the Spirit of God, you'll be baptized into that one body.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.